Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. My name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here at Lighthouse. Thanks for being here today. If you're watching online, thanks for tuning in as well. Is it raining out yet? Yes? No? There in the back row, I hear, yes, maybe a little. Good, good. Hey, just a couple things from me. Just a reminder, I wanted to follow up on the block party. So we have this outreach coming up in just a few weeks. And last couple years, we've done a vacation Bible school. It was a three-night vacation Bible school. And we were able to reach, I don't know, maybe about 50 or so kids in the community. So this year, what we've decided to do is instead of doing the vacation Bible school, we're going to do three different outreaches. So we'll do two block parties and then one, it's a free car wash type outreach that we're going to do as well. So here's my ask for all of you. My ask is that if you call this your church home, that you would sign up for at least one of those outreaches, okay? So look in your calendar. You can kind of decide. I think they're all out there on the website. And if they're not, they will be this week. And you can pick one, try to sign up. And I really think we're going to reach hundreds this summer with the message of Christ. So if you would help us do that, I would really appreciate that. And yes, you do get a free t-shirt. So you want to have that t-shirt. That's the thing to have this summer. Also, next weekend is Father's Day. Can I hear it from the guys? Yeah. We're going to have a special class on how to respond when we talk to the guys on, you know, a little manly thing. Anyway, I love Father's Day every year because we get to kind of do it up a little bit. We'll have a grill going out in the front there. We'll have IBC root beers. We'll have some giveaways as well. And we're going to have just a 10-minute message for guys. No, we're actually going to have a normal-sized message. But I would invite you to make sure that you invite the guys in your life to come. You may have some men in your life that are like, I don't really do the church thing. This would be the church service for them to come to. So invite your friends and family members to come. And guys, make sure you're here also next weekend. Speaking of men, anyone ever heard of Billy Graham, right? How many of you? Like, if I see, yeah, everybody pretty much in the auditorium has heard of evangelist Billy Graham. He had an incredible ministry. He was born in 1918, lived almost 100 years. He went to heaven back in 2018, but he became a Christian at the age of 15 at a revival meeting, of all things, right? That's where he became a follower of Christ. So he went to Bible school. He ended up having his first revival meeting, an evangelistic crusade, in 1947 at the age of 29. So he was 29 years old when he kind of moved into his full-time ministry call. In his lifetime, though, he led over 400 evangelistic crusades across nearly 100 countries around the world. He preached to nearly 215 million people in person. 215 million people. And reached, they estimate, over 2.2 billion people through radio, television, books, and events. He was known as America's pastor. He was the spiritual advisor to 12 U.S. presidents. And they estimate that over 3 million people became followers of Jesus through his ministry. Billy Graham knew how to share the gospel. How to share the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. Jesus himself mentioned the gospel in the books of the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Greek word that he used literally means sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. The first four books of the Bible, the stories of Jesus' life, are known as the four Gospels. The four Gospels. They're stories of Jesus, his teaching, and the good news and the message of salvation. So I started sharing the gospel when I was in eighth grade after I recommitted my life to Jesus. And I started sharing it with my friends from school. And some of them became followers of Christ as a result. And I remember, though, that one day I was sharing the gospel with a foreign exchange student from Europe somewhere. And I'm laying out through scripture why, you know, she should believe in this Jesus who came and what he said and what heaven meant and all those things. And she kind of stopped me and she said, I'm sorry, Clint, but I don't believe that the Bible is true. And I didn't know how to respond to that. Anyone ever tried sharing the gospel and you didn't know how to answer a question, right? You know, like, I don't know how to answer that question. I do now, but I didn't know then. And so I got discouraged and I stopped sharing the gospel. I just stopped. Now, this probably happened to us. If you've ever tried to share your faith, tried to share the message of Jesus to someone, you may have been shot down at times, like I did. They may have asked you one of those questions, and you didn't know how to answer it, and so you felt dumb. See, Billy Graham was really, really good at sharing the gospel. He made it look really, really simple. And the truth is, the gospel itself is pretty simple, but sharing our faith is definitely not easy. It's definitely not easy. But if I had let the discouragement of being shot down early on in my faith walk keep me from sharing the gospel, well, I wouldn't be a pastor today. And I would say there would probably be several people that wouldn't be followers of Christ today as a result. So we need to look past the challenge, the many challenges of sharing the gospel, and continue to do it today. Now, at the end of the book of Matthew, right before Jesus is taken up into heaven, he gives this final instruction, and it's really about sharing the gospel. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," he's commanding it to the disciples, and he's commanding it to us today, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Basically, Jesus is saying, go and share the gospel. Tell people the story of Jesus, the way of salvation, and grow them up in their faith. That was his final command to every one of us. Now, the thing about the gospel is that it's the good news. It's a good thing to share. It's the message of salvation. Now, there are a lot of people who haven't heard the gospel. There are a lot of people that haven't responded to the gospel. A lot of people that are walking away from God today. I looked up some stats this week, and it's estimated that worldwide 5 billion people are not followers of Jesus. 5 billion people. And of those, over 3 billion have never even heard the name Jesus. They have no idea who Jesus is. In the United States, the statistics say that roughly 2/3 of Americans claim to be followers of Christ. 2/3. And I think that's probably pretty high. I mean, most of us would go, that seems like a high number. But using those numbers, that means that 100 million people in the United States today are not followers of Christ. 100 million people. And locally, if we use those statistics as well, there's 200,000 people in Elkhart County, just over that. And that would mean that 66,000 people in our county alone, in just our county, are not followers of Christ. So how will they know the message of salvation? How will they know to turn their lives to Christ unless somebody tells them? Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's the good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Reality is, we as followers of Christ, we have some work to do. If we are going to follow the command that Jesus gave to us, to the early disciples, and he gave to us to go and make disciples, we have some work to do. And in our culture today, it is getting increasingly difficult to share the gospel. I recognize that. But I will tell you, it's easier today to share the gospel than it will be probably 10 years from now or 20 years from now. 10, 20 years from now, we'll look back and say, why didn't I share the gospel then? It was a lot easier then. Just like today, we look back and say, it was a lot easier 10 years ago to share our faith. So we need to get on it. It's going to take courage, and it's going to take commitment. So we are continuing our summer message series titled Fully Committed. And we're studying different Bible characters who were fully committed to different things, committed to their faith, committed to their friends, committed to their family. And my hope is as we study their lives, it'll rub off on us, and we will become more fully committed. And last week, we talked about King David, who was fully committed to worship. Amen? I mean, that guy knew how to worship. And so we looked at his life, and my hope is as we talk about these individuals, we will become a little bit more like them. Now, when it comes to sharing the gospel, one Bible character stands out to me, and that is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was fully committed to sharing the gospel. And today we're going to study his life and his writings a little bit, and my hope is that we will, all of us, will become a little more fully committed to sharing our faith. You can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. This is where we first hear of the Apostle Paul. Now, to set this up, it's been about 3 to 6 months since Jesus was crucified. The 12 apostles appoint Stephen and some other disciples to help carry on the work of taking care of the poor. But Stephen is found to be full of the Holy Spirit, incredibly wise and powerful in his faith. And some local Jewish leaders become jealous of him and falsely accuse him of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So he is arrested, and he responds by sharing the history, really, the history of their faith. And he wraps it all up by pointing out that Jesus is the Messiah. He's essentially sharing the gospel. But in the midst of that, he then turns around to the Jewish leaders, and he accuses them of killing the Messiah, and that doesn't go over very well. So Acts chapter 7, verse 57 says, "At this, they, the religious leaders, covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. So the Apostle Paul at this time is known as Saul. All right? And Saul begins to persecute the Christians in Jerusalem and other nearby cities. We don't know for how long. Biblical scholars believe it was anywhere from several months to several years. But he begins to go from city to city to identify those who are Christians and then to drag them back to Jerusalem where they are arrested, they are tried and convicted and killed. So on one of those journeys, he's going to Damascus, which is 135 miles away, which is a long way by foot. You know, it's going to take him a week just to get there. So he's on his journey to Damascus, and then Jesus shows up. You can turn to Acts 9, starting with verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And he neared Damascus on his journey. Suddenly, a light
from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So at that point, he runs into the person of Jesus, the one whom he is persecuting. And he's blinded, and he just fasts and prays. His faith is all shook up at that point. And then a follower of Jesus named Ananias has a vision to go and heal him. And so he goes to Saul and he prays for him and he's healed. And immediately Saul begins to preach a new message, the message of salvation, the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the one he previously opposed. So starting with verse 20, it says this: "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name, on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him." And then he finally escapes, heads back to Jerusalem, and he tries to join the disciples. "Hey, I'm now a follower of Christ too." And they were kind of afraid of him because just a few weeks earlier, he had tried to kill them all, right? But Barnabas, a wonderful disciple, he came and got to know Saul and believed in him and brought him into the fold with the other disciples. So as soon as he is in Jerusalem, he starts preaching the gospel again. And the Jews there try to kill him. So they send him to his home city because he's tried, you know, they've tried to kill him twice already. So they're like, "Well, just go to Tarsus." So he goes off to Tarsus and eventually ends up in a city called Antioch with Barnabas, and he starts preaching the gospel there for the next year. He comes back to Jerusalem a year later, talks to the disciples, and then they see this call on his life to preach the gospel, and so they send him off to begin his work. And he goes on three different missionary journeys throughout the known region at that time. Some biblical scholars believe it was more than that, but it was at least three different missionary journeys over the next 10 years, and he covered 10,000 miles, mostly by foot, during that time, preaching the gospel. And he's persecuted, eventually arrested, thrown in jail, ends up in Rome, and that's where history says that he was martyred for his faith, was in Rome, in prison. But throughout his lifetime, he established somewhere between 14 and 20 different churches, wrote half the books of the New Testament, and thousands upon thousands of people became followers of Christ through his message. Paul was fully committed to sharing the gospel. And that's our title for today, fully committed to sharing the gospel. And my hope is, as we look at his life and look at some of his teachings and some of the things that he said, we will have that rub off on us. Have that rub off on us. But let me pray and we'll jump into it. Father, I thank you for calling Paul, calling him to follow you, and empowering him, Lord, to speak the very words of life and to write much of the New Testament to teach us how to live. So God, we thank you for calling this disciple. And I pray, God, today, I pray that there would be Pauls among us, men and women who are fully committed to sharing our faith, no matter what the cost is. So bring that out in us, Lord, and help me to communicate your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can fill this in on your handout. Like Paul, we can be fully committed to sharing the gospel by, number one, having a heart for those who don't yet know Jesus. Having a heart for those who don't yet know Jesus. Love drove Paul. Love drove him. Love for God, love for the truth, but especially love for people. He didn't want anyone to die away from knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, knowing Jesus the way that he knew him. See, Paul had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. He was religious beforehand. He had religion, but he didn't have relationship with God Almighty. And it changed his life from the inside out. He looked good on the outside. He was a Pharisee. He was very religious. He had memorized books of the Bible. People looked up to him. But on the inside, you could see, I think, that he was full of bitterness. He was full of anger. He was full of wanting to succeed, to impress others. But God changed all that. And God gave him a heart for those who don't know Jesus. He fell in love with those people. We refer to those people as lost, right? Like they're lost. They don't know their way to heaven. We might refer to them as just non-Christians or non-believers. I like to refer to them as pre-Christians, right? I mean, they may not be Christians yet. This is just in the pre-Christian stage of their life. How many of you can remember when you were a pre-Christian? Remember that? And I can, and I remember what my life was like away from Jesus. Paul was committed to sharing his faith to those who didn't know Jesus. He loved them. Scripture records many of his letters that he wrote to the churches, to believers. And he pleaded with them, really, to have unity and to follow Jesus and all of that. I can only imagine what Paul was like when he preached to non-Christians. You know, his passion and his love for them. There's a story when he was in the city of Athens, and he was just waiting around for Silas and Timothy to join him. But while he was there, he couldn't help but start preaching the gospel. In Acts 17, verse 16, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. You can kind of imagine that. He's just waiting around and he's like, oh, man, look at all these people who are, they just don't know the gospel. They don't know the truth. And so he pleaded with them and he reasoned with them every day. And I love the technique he used. He said this in verse 22. He says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So he found a connecting point. He says, man, this unknown God, he's unknown to you, but let me tell you about him. And he preached and proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. Paul loved people. Paul loved people. His sincere love for people, it inspired him to write 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we know as the love chapter, which is recited at almost every wedding that I've ever been to. It talks about what love is. But he says this before that, before he quotes all of the characteristics of love. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. He's making it clear. If we don't love people, our words are meaningless. Our actions don't matter. Our songs really don't mean anything. Guys, we can't share our faith out of a sense of duty.
or out of an obligation to tell them that they're wrong. It's only out of love that people will respond to our stories. It's only out of love. Bill Hybels, former lead pastor of Willow Creek Church in Chicago, wrote a book titled Just Walk Across the Room. Wonderful book about sharing our faith. But in the book, he tells a personal story of how he met a guy named Dave when he was sailing, right up here in Michigan. And so Bill Hybels loved to sail, and he met up with this guy named Dave. And early on, Dave found out that he was a pastor and made it very clear he didn't want to hear anything that he had to say. Dave was not a follower of Christ. And so over time, Bill and Dave became pretty close, became pretty good friends. And their friends, you know, they got to know each other's families and hung out together and all these things. And there came a moment, because Bill was being very careful not to preach to him. But over weeks, months, years, I'm not sure how long it was, but there came a moment when love for Dave overcame Bill. And he stepped over that line and he just looked at Dave and he says, Dave, he says, I just don't want to go to heaven without you. And it was a sincere love for his friend that had him say it. And because of that, Dave listened. And Dave began to explore faith in Christ. And eventually, Dave became a follower of Christ. And they're still good friends today. But it was out of love that he shared his faith. And it was because of love that Dave responded. We're not going to badger anyone into heaven. I've tried that. It doesn't work. We're not going to argue people into heaven. I've tried that too. That's not very effective. And we're not going to guilt anyone into heaven. Anyone tried that? I certainly have, right? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. But we can love them into heaven. We can. I've seen that work. Jesus said this to us. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I was reminded of the old song that says, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. It's more than a song. It's an expectation, and honestly, our faith is all about love. I really think that if we love people well, evangelism would be easy. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The whole reason Jesus came was out of love for people. So here's a question to ask ourselves. Do people know me by my love? Is that how people know you? Do they know you by your love? This week, I wanted some Chipotle, and so, you know, you can order it online now, and the new Goshen over there by Lowe's, Chipotle has a Chipotlane, which is like a fast lane. You don't order it in the lane, you just drive up and pick it up. The idea is you order it, and the app shows you when it's done, and you can run over there, and nobody's going to be waiting in line because they're not ordering. You just walk, you drive up and open the window, and they throw it in, and you take off. It's great. So I went there this week, and I got there, and somebody was in line ahead of me, and I'm like, it's okay, it's Chipotle, it's going to be quick. But they sat there for a good couple minutes. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm hungry. I want my Chipotle, right? Finally, they get their Chipotle, and they leave, and I'm like, oh, maybe they had messed up their order or something. So I pulled up, expecting the window to open, and it doesn't open, and the lady there is like, she's making a burrito or something. And I'm sitting there, And I had to wait until she made a burrito, like the whole thing. And I'm like, this isn't the way it's supposed to work. This is supposed to be fast. And so as I'm sitting there getting more and more upset, because I've been sitting in this line now for at least 4 minutes. I mean, think about that. It's at least 4 minutes. Yeah. So then she finally comes over to the window, opens the window, asks for my name, gives me my, it's right there. I mean, I could almost reach out and grab it, right? She hands it to me. And I'll tell you what, I gave her the dirtiest look. I'm like, drove away. I didn't even make it out of the Lowe's parking lot before the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, does she know you by your love? I'm like, oh. I didn't go back, just in case you wanted. Didn't want to wait another 2 minutes to apologize. No, she didn't. She didn't know me by my love. So that's the question, is how do people know us, the people around us? Do they know us by our love? Do we seem loving and kind, or do they feel judged? Do they feel condemned? Or I would say even worse yet, do they feel nothing because we're ignoring them? Being fully committed to sharing our faith starts with our hearts. And we need to ask God to give us a love for people. Now, let's be honest. Pre-Christians can be pretty messed up. Can be difficult to love. Christians can be too, but pre-Christians can be. But God is calling us to love them. And it's through our love for them that they might know the love of God. Here's your fill-in. If our motive is love, our message will be heard. And I would also throw in, if your motive isn't love, don't share the message. Because the message is love. So it starts with our hearts. If we're going to be fully committed to sharing the gospel, we need to have a heart for those who don't yet know Jesus. The second point is, if we're going to be fully committed to sharing the gospel, we're going to have to endure some hardships. As we read earlier, Paul, as soon as he started sharing his faith, they wanted to kill him in Damascus, and then he went to Jerusalem, and they wanted to kill him there as well. Everywhere Paul went, he ran into people that wanted to kill him. And it was simply because he was sharing one thing, and that was the gospel. That's why. And they wanted to kill him. He had to endure a lot of hardships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists what it meant for him to follow Jesus as a born-again follower of Christ and sharing the gospel. He says this, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 5 times he got his back ripped open. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. The time he was stoned, they dragged him out of the city, thought he was dead, and he got up, went back into the city. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul loved people, and it cost him dearly. In the end, it ended up costing him his life. He wrote this to his apprentice Timothy while he was in prison. He says to Timothy, he says, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. I love that because he's in prison in Rome, most likely already, you know, they've sentenced him and he's about ready to die. And he says to Timothy, whom he loves, who was an evangelist of his own, he says, endure the hardship that's going to come. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep preaching the gospel because it's worth it. It's worth it. So, question for us today, am I afraid to share my faith? Are we afraid to share our faith? Maybe another question for that is, why are we afraid to share our faith? Are we afraid that people are going to look at us differently? That they're going to make fun of us? That we might be persecuted, called a name? Some of us, maybe we're concerned that we might lose our job if we share our faith. Or we might be kicked out of a friend group if we share our faith. Guys, I would just tell you, that is nothing compared to what Jesus went through. And by the way, it is nothing compared to what Paul went through. Paul is the model of somebody who endured incredible suffering to share his faith. And I would just say, if we endure any type of suffering, any level of suffering, that is a badge of honor. That is something to be proud of, that we are worthy of suffering any bit of harm for our faith. There will come a day, I believe it's going to be in our lifetime, I don't know, it might be hundreds of years from now, but there will come a day when it will be illegal in our country to share our faith. In the world, it will become illegal to share our faith. It already is illegal in several countries around the world. And if we, hear me when I say this, if we are afraid to share our faith today because somebody might look poorly at us, how are we going to be able to share our faith when we might go to jail or die as a result? I mean, we have to be willing to endure what little hardship there is today to share our faith. Now, what's the benefit, though? I mean, let's be honest. For us, it doesn't feel like a lot of benefit, right? It's a little bit of persecution. But for them, it could change their life. It could change their life. Here's your feeling. Our discomfort is worth their eternity. It is so worth it for us to take the risk, to take what little hardship there may be, and to share our faith with those around us who don't yet know Jesus. And I would also throw in, not only could it change their eternity, but it could change their present too. How many of us are living a very different life as a follower of Jesus than what we were before? Right? We know the difference. The better walk, the better life we have, the fruits of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord, things like that. The things that the world is missing today. Guys, it's the good news. It's the good news. And it's worth it for us to take the risk to share it with those around us. So like Paul.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofvineyard.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.